This podcast is an unscripted, unedited conversation about true crime. We take the cases very seriously, but I don't take myself seriously at all, and neither should you. Welcome to Wife of Crime.
So, guys, on this episode of Start Spreading the News, we talk about the life and death of a legend, Jerry Springer. We have a full-on debate about the murder of Jordan Neely. We discuss the psychopath, Corey Richens. We talk about why White Boy Rick is back in the news, and so much more. Welcome back to Wife of Crime. This is a bonus episode that we do called Start Spreading the News.
A little too chipper to start.
And but, I worked a 12-hour shift today. I'm very chipper after a 12-hour shift.
So this is Russ, a.k.a. Al Roker, a.k.a. Tom Brokaw.
And this is Jess, a.k.a. I don't know any female anchors. I feel like the... Katie Couric, good. You said Kirk.
I don't know.
You said Katie Kirk. You don't know anyone's name.
No. I wouldn't even recognize her if I saw her in the street.
You know whose job I really
want? Oh, what's the other one?
Yolanda Vega.
She got the easiest job. All she has to do is know numbers.
That's it. She has the easiest job.
She probably gets a pension and everything.
I listened to the Hey Babe episode with Yolanda Vega. And that job, she just like happened to get. Someone told her, hey, go audition for this. She was like in her late 30s, early 40s. She was like, all right, I'll go. She went. And then she made her little tagline where she goes, Yolanda Vega. She like made it a thing.
Wait a minute. Saying your name is not a tagline.
No, but she says it so intensely like that.
No, she says it with an accent like she's like a Puerto Rican from the Bronx.
She talked about it, that she drags out her last name on purpose. She goes, Vega, on purpose.
Now I want her to shut up and just do the numbers. Just say, hey, it's YV. The numbers YV. Are 10, 12, 47, something, something. Hope you once you quit your job. I'm out.
If you guys don't know, which if you're not from New York, you don't know who Yolanda Vega is. She's like a staple here in New York City because she's done the lottery numbers for years.
She's like if you ordered Vanna White off of Wish. Because her job, she don't get the same kind of money.
No.
We all know that person that does the same job as us.
Yep.
But makes way less or more. You know what I mean? So Vanna White basically does the same job, makes way more.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, fuck. She's probably just waiting for Vanna to die, but she's going to live forever.
Yo, Vanna White's job. Imagine having that job. She doesn't even have to spin the letters anymore. All she has to do is tap now.
She's old. She'll probably tear her tricep.
She is getting up there, but literally she works 4 days a month. She makes millions, and all she has to do is tap a square. She doesn't even have to talk. She just has to look pretty and tap a little square.
And it's not hard to look pretty when the cameras are that far away from you. You could look good forever, Vanna.
She doesn't even have to know how to spell. She doesn't know the letters.
Because back in the day, she might have had to know what the puzzle was. Because they're like, oh, an E. And she probably have to like, all right, this is the phrase. But now it just lights up.
Didn't it light up back in the day too? So she knew which one to turn? I don't remember.
I don't know. Well, apparently Grandpa watches the Powerball during Wheel of Fortune.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I used to watch it, apparently.
Pat Sajak too. He's got a nice gig. These people lucked out.
Pat's job's harder because he has to talk.
He has to interact with the people.
Vanna just has a traditional woman job. Just shut up and look
shut
pretty.
Shut up, you dick.
She was the it woman for a long time. She had like her own show where she was like a superhero.
Really?
Yeah, it was on TV. I think she had like lightning fingers or something.
Nuh-uh. She had her own show?
Deadass.
Really? I have to look that up.
Yeah, and she was in a lot of... I don't know if she was in a lot of stuff, but... I guarantee she's worth at least $100 million because she had was making decent money back then, and all she had to do was buy a house or two. Them shits went up 20 times by now. She probably bought, you know, $1 million house in the hills.
I think she has like investments from what I've heard.
Well, you, well, what else you gonna do with your
Your money?
All your letter flipping money.
Yeah, letter flipping money. Well, so this is Start Spreading the News, a bonus episode that we like to do randomly where we just talk about stuff in the news. And there's a lot of stuff in the news going on. There's a lot of stuff you guys have sent me that you want me to talk about, you want me and Russ to discuss. And this is our opportunity to discuss it because, for your info, we're not having a regular episode next week. We are going to be
vacation
in the Virgin Islands. Just so you guys know, Russ and I haven't taken a vacation since 2018. That is a really long time.
You know why?
Because we were grinding.
Well, because every day you're with me is like a dream.
Oh, God.
So, like, it's not going to get better if you go somewhere else. It's always rainbows and butterflies.
Well, we're going to St. Thomas. And I'm so excited because Russ has never been to the Caribbean. He's never seen blue, clear, beautiful water. He's never seen white sandy beaches.
I know what green water looks like, the Hudson, son.
I'm so excited for you to experience it. We're very white. So, of course, we're staying at Margaritaville, the whitest resort in St. Thomas.
I don't know. They got margaritas. It sounds all right to me. Like, if the margaritas are trash, then I'd be upset.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be trash. I think they'll be good.
But you can't mess up a margarita. It's a few ingredients.
It's true. And you have your own margarita blender in your room.
Nah, I ain't doing that. Doing too much.
Now you'd rather buy it? Okay.
Yeah, I ain't doing that.
I thought you liked to save money, but whatever.
All right, so I'll start it off.
Okay, you got articles. Here we go.
So jumping from Vanna White to the next hot old lady.
Oh.
So, has anyone seen Martha Stewart? She is now 81, and she is now the oldest Sports Illustrated cover model in history.
I saw her cover.
Dude, and I always say, I should have got a sugar mama. Martha.
Martha, pull up.
Martha, Martha, Martha. come through, son.
You're in the Bronx. Come to the Bronx.
For 81, obviously, it's touched up and everything.
Of course. It's photoshopped, for sure.
But it's probably as good as you can look at 81.
Probably is. I looked at all the pictures from her Sports Illustrated article, and she looks good in every single one of them.
I only looked at the cover.
Go her. No, literally, she looks great in all of them. She's even in swimsuits. She's in swimsuits and everything.
You think she still has sex?
Maybe. I mean, listen, 80, when you go to nursing homes, so fun fact, when I was 17, I worked in a nursing home. I was a waitress at a nursing home, and it was actually a really fun job. I really enjoyed it. Old men are still a little perv.
Do you dick work as they get older? 80? Probably.
If you take pills.
Probably like on a Wednesday when the cold wind blows, like every now and then. Like, hey, today's the day.
No, definitely if they take pills, it works. But, you know, STDs do run a little rampant in nursing homes.
You know what?
Because they have sex with each other.
Hey, if I'm 80, I don't give a fuck.
You'll take the chlamydia?
Give me all that. First of all,
you'll take the crabs.
You could give me AIDS. I'm going to die before that shit kills me anyway. It doesn't even matter.
Oh, God.
Give me AIDS. She's like, I got AIDS. It's all good. I'm on it. I'll die before the HIV turns into AIDS anyway. I don't even need the AIDS cocktail. We'll be all right.
Yeah, at this point, you could live with HIV forever. Look at Magic Johnson.
Yeah,
everybody that has HIV can live.
No, I'm just saying if I'm old, it doesn't matter because
you're old.
Like, it doesn't matter. They're like, you want your AIDS pills? Like, nah, I'm good. Those things are big.
Yeah, so they do have sex in nursing homes when they get older. I'm sure they do.
But, like, how do the positions work? Their hips probably hurt.
Probably. It's probably not as freaky as when they're younger, but I'm sure they still do it.
Like, come
here. Good for them.
You want to come to my room, Bert? And I'm like, all right, Gail, I'll be right there. Why they have such ugly names?
Oh, Bert and Gail. It's true. I feel like the names have definitely changed over the years.
Here comes a fucking one star from Bert and Gail.
Whatever. Fuck, I think it's cool if old people still have sex. Good for them. That's great.
Do they supply lube in there?
They must have to. I mean, those things are probably dry as a desert, so they probably need to.
It's dusty. This is gross. Move on.
So, speaking of TV people, like Vanna White, people who had TV shows.
Look at these segues.
Sadly, a legend died recently. A true, true legend. R.I.P. Jerry Springer.
Yeah, that sucks. He's one of them dudes that when you're home from school, him and Bob Barker, you know, and I once said Bob Barker was dead, but he's not.
He's not. Everyone corrected you on that.
He's in a nursing home having sex right now.
Yep, probably.
Now, he's rich enough to probably, he has the girls come to him and his
he
mansion.
He probably pays for it, yeah. But Jerry Springer, he died of pancreatic cancer. Very sad. Pancreatic cancer is a tough way to go. Very sad. Yeah. But he lived a crazy life, and I didn't know any of this information.
That boy was a mayor.
So, yes. So, I listened to an episode of This American Life, my absolute favorite podcast of all time. They did a whole episode on Jerry Springer and the fact that he was in politics for so many years before he became the king of trash TV. And he actually was really passionate about politics and he was really good at it. They interviewed all these people from Cincinnati, where he was the mayor of Cincinnati, and then he was on the city council. And they interviewed all these people who worked with him, and they literally compared him to Bobby Kennedy. They were like, this guy could deliver a speech. He was so good at delivering speeches. He could turn a room of people who disagreed with him, and they by the end, they would give him a standing ovation. So he was really good at politics, but
he'd always give the Jerry speech at the end.
He would.
After you had two midgets fighting, and one was you know, a trans midget, one was a regular midget, and they were having sex with each other's cousins and stuff. And they were hitting each other with little fists, and then when one fell on the ground, it would be like, bloop.
Oh, stop! Anyway, so Jerry Springer, do you know what his downfall was from politics? Like, from his fall from grace in Cincinnati?
I think he, like, smoked crack and had sex with a hooker or something. Well, that might have been David Dinkins. He was our mayor, too. I think he was the first black mayor of New York, and he got caught smoking crack, I think.
Oh, wow.
Or that could have just been on a skit on In Living Color, and I took it as a fact.
Well, Jerry Springer actually would frequent this massage parlor that gave happy endings, and he ended up paying for a hooker that he met there, but he paid with a check. And his wife found out because he paid with a check. And everyone found out, obviously, because he was like city council, local politician. And when they first broke the news, he said like he wanted to run away. He wanted to leave town and get the hell out of there. But instead, he decided to lean into it. He decided to take all the ridicule, take all the jokes, lean into it, and he started making fun of himself. And he actually was on like a morning show radio program, and he was doing a commercial for a credit card. And at the end, he like joked about, you know, you don't want to write checks. It was really good. He like took all the ridicule on.
Well, see, that's kind of like what I do. And it's not even like a self-defense mechanism. Not as far as like when I go to hand job places, I pay cash. That isn't what
Shut up. You are so annoying.
But when I said that's what I do, I meant, I lost my train of thought because Jess is going to bring this up after the show. What you do is you disarm people. Like, if someone has something against you, you like laugh at it and make fun of it with them. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like, I took dog pills for 2 weeks.
You did?
You know, I took Biggie's medication for 2 weeks straight without knowing it because Jess put the pills right next to my pill. And it was in the spot, you know, so I took them.
Yeah. And it's good to, like, be able to laugh at yourself. And that's what he did. He was able to laugh at himself. It is funny. You're good at laughing at yourself.
Because it is funny.
I can laugh at myself, too.
You ever think, like, I do things all the time, like, I'm so dumb. Happens all the time, like taking them pills. That was the most recent one, taking Biggie's dog pills for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was pretty dumb.
Yeah, so now my thyroid's a little off, but I'll be all right. Hopefully it was a smaller dose because he's a little fella.
Yeah. Well, Jerry Springer leaned into it, and then he ended up getting a local news anchor, and he was doing that for years and years and years. And then he left the local news station and he got his own show. And originally he was supposed to be like Phil Donahue, like have actual political people on. Like Phil Donahue, honestly, out of all the shows, remember Jenny Jones?
Oh, Ricky Lake. Oh, remember Jenny? Nah, yeah. Jenny would have like, it'd be like a nerd in high school. Mm-hmm. And then they used to be fat and then they lost weight and they got their tits done and they come on in a bikini like, look at me now, which you could have had. And a lot of times they were mediocre as well, but I was a little kid and I thought they were hot because it was a bikini and it was tits.
Yeah, they had Jenny Jones, Ricky Lake, and then you have Jerry Springer. And Jerry Springer was originally supposed to be a very serious show, but the first season flopped. So then a new producer came in and was like, no, we're leaning into trash. We're doing the whole trash vibe. And they really went for it. And he was like the first world star.
I could see why you would say that, yeah. And then also the first time they went back and Sweet Brown was on there, you know, Miss Ain't Nobody Got Time for That. She was drinking a cold pop. She was on there and they used to do Jerry beads later on. We do Jerry beads mm-hmm. and show some boobs. Mm-hmm. And she got on there and she's like, I don't know. I'm paraphrasing. She's like, I want some Jerry beads. She showed them things. And, yeah. She had time for that.
Sweet Brown. I love her.
Yeah. Jerry was good. And then I remember there always used to be, they did like Jerry Springer Uncensored on pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. I never watched it. I wasn't even allowed to watch Jerry Springer.
Yeah, but
I snuck and watched.
Everybody watched it when Jesus wasn't looking.
Yeah, I literally snuck and watched it, but I wasn't supposed
to. Yeah, Jerry Springer Uncut was kind of like Girls Gone Wild, basically. So now they would fight with their boobs out, like on World Star.
Oh my God. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah. But I never got to see it. But all us boys wanted to.
Yeah.
I wish someone just had a DVD. We would like pass it around. Oh, or it was probably VHS.
VHS. No one had DVDs back then. Well, Jerry tried to get back into politics after his show was already on TV.
Other reality stars become presidents. Go for it,
son. Yeah, like he really did. He tried to. He's so passionate about politics. He's a passionate Democrat. He was. He was a big-time Democrat. He went to the Democratic convention after he already had his show. He gave a speech, and the room full of people, you know, they were all these serious Democrats, and they didn't like him because they knew him as the Jerry Springer from the Jerry Springer show. So he got up, and he did this speech. And on This American Life, the podcast, you hear an excerpt from the speech, and he talks about like all the things wrong with the country, but he says something like, I know trash. This is trash. And you know what? I know trash because I'm Jerry Springer. I'm the king of trash. And when he said that, everyone was laughing. But by the end of his speech, the whole room gave him a standing ovation. And I just thought it was really cool. You know, like I feel like we see people in one-dimensional things a lot of times. And we make this idea up of who they are in our heads, of who they might be.
I am a profiler.
But when you learn that they have so many dimensions to them, I just thought it was really cool. I love that episode. Check it out if you guys want to. It's This American Life. It came out a couple weeks ago. I can't remember the name of the
episode. Write a review and say Wife of Crime sent me.
But it's such a good episode just to hear all about his political career. So RIP Jerry Springer.
Imagine though he would have went into politics and then like later on in life it's like Donald Trump versus Jerry Springer in a debate. Like how embarrassing. Like no, our reality stars are our presidents.
No, that would be really like, funny.
Jeez, this is the Twilight Zone.
That would be hilarious. But Jerry Springer actually does give a good speech.
It'd be interesting. Because if Trump's acting up, Jerry Springer probably got Steve right next to him. He probably gets Steve on him.
Steve Wilkos.
Yeah. And Steve got his own show.
Yeah, Steve got his own show too. Yeah. Damn, son. I need a show.
You're on your show.
No, I need like a TV show.
You're doing too much, kid. All right, so I got one.
Okay.
Louisiana man arrested for bomb threat claims he was really just talking about a bowel movement. This is ridiculous. So, employees at a Louisiana restaurant got the scare of a lifetime. This man entered the workplace and he threatened to blow it up. First of all, he probably was holding his stomach. Relax. Well, he probably was like, oh, I'm going to blow this shit up.
Probably that's how he said it.
So they called the cops and literally he just walked into the restaurant and he said he wasn't going to blow anything up. He just needed to blow the bathroom up.
But who says that though?
Me.
You would walk into the and be like, yo, I got to blow your shit up.
Well, you. No, but
I'm about to blow up your bathroom.
Yeah, like people say that, like, yo, I'm about to blow this shit up.
Yeah.
You've never heard it?
Yeah, but would you say it to the employees that work there? No.
How many drinks did he have?
True. If you had a bunch of drinks, you may.
Like, yo, I got to go. I'm going to blow this shit up.
You may say that.
And he'd be like, I'm calling the cops. Like, it's tight. I'll blow it up over there.
You might be somebody who would say
and
that.
Jess would be like, I got to use your bathroom.
Yeah, of
and
course. I would never tell people I'm going to poop.
Well, whenever Jess goes to the bathroom, I would just assume she's pooping.
Why?
Because it's always an emergency.
Well,
it just, your bathroom breaks hit you like a ton of bricks. Like, we're in the car. You're like, I got to go to the bathroom. Like, right this second. Like, wait. You don't have 20 minutes?
20 minutes? No. Sometimes it hits you where you don't have 20 minutes. You have about 7 to 10 at the most.
It must have taken forever to potty train you.
No, I was a good potty trainer.
Because you went right...
Potty trainee. I was good. But, you know, like, other people understand. I have a sensitive stomach. So sometimes it just hits you where you're like, oh.
You feel the pee coming? You're like, I gotta pee now. Like... Well, good. Well, you're...
No, usually when I gotta go to the bathroom now, it's because it's number two.
If you ever went to the bathroom in my car, I wouldn't let you in the car no more. I swear to God, you would never get in my car again. Okay. We wouldn't go anywhere. We'd always go in two separate cars. Like, oh, where are we going? You gotta meet me. We go upstate. Oh, we're going to the restaurant? I'll meet you there. Because I don't want to get in your car that you never wash.
Whatever. So I'm going to take it to more of a serious note. Now, there was a situation that happened here in New York that has divided people. And that is the situation with the murder of Jordan Neely.
Michael Jackson.
The guy who was the Michael Jackson impersonator, who was homeless, who ended up getting choked out by Daniel Penny, who was a Marine. And this has divided people, not only in the country, but also in New York City. And I feel like you and I probably will meet at the same conclusion, but we might disagree about the details of this just because of our personalities. So I feel like we're going to disagree about details, but we're going to meet at the same conclusion at the end. So the situation is, for everybody who doesn't know, but I'm sure a lot of people know, Jordan Neely was a homeless man who was having a lot of problems. Psychotic episodes back to back. He was in and out of hospital stays and emergency rooms. And he walked on the F train. He took off his jacket and he started screaming, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I can't take this no more. I don't care. I'll take a bullet. I'll kill somebody on this train. I'm hungry. I want food. That's what he started saying.
And the Marine told him, beat it.
Russ. So the Marine guy, Daniel Penny, was sitting there watching this. And apparently, according to other people on the car, because at the end of the day, a lot of people have a lot of opinions. The media likes to push narratives. So let's remember that when we talk about this. And people have a lot of opinions. But at the end of the day, we weren't there. We can only go by the people who were actually in the car at the time. And the people who were in that train car at the time say that they felt threatened. And he was aggressive and he was scaring them. There was a woman who came out after Daniel Penny surrendered himself.
And she said, he want to be starting something.
He's, can you stop? I was trying to be serious.
I can't, he's a Michael Jackson.
So she said that she was very thankful for Daniel Penny because she was very scared. She was in her 60s.
Also, she wasn't a PYT?
She was in her 60s. She was really scared because Jordan Neely was being very aggressive with his speech. Now, apparently he didn't step in and actually get physical with him for a little bit. But when he did, he put him in a chokehold. And he held him there for an excessive amount of time. And there were other people who were holding his arms, and he was fully restrained.
That shows that he wasn't the only people that took this, only person that took this man as a threat.
That does show that, and I do agree with you. However, they had ample amount of time and warning to let go. And Daniel Penny was told by multiple people on the train, he just pooped himself. He's going to die. You need to let him go.
But what if they would have let him go and he was a smooth criminal?
Russ, serious for 1 second. He passed out. He passed out and he still held him after he was knocked out. So that's a problem. You're a Marine and you should understand, because you've taken self-defense, that once someone is choked out and they've passed out, you got to let them go now. And he didn't. And he was warned by multiple people, you should let him go. You should let him go. He didn't do it. He chose to hold him there, which means he chose to kill him.
So I feel, you know, a little different than you. Yes, it is a fact that this Marine murdered Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
If this man was in there and your grandmother... Both your 80-year-old grandmothers are on this train, completely defenseless, full of fear. There's aggressive bums in New York. It's not as common as people on TV make it sound, but I might also feel like that because I don't feel threatened as much as an old lady does.
It actually is very common, and I feel threatened a lot.
So there you go. Now, but if there was a bum in your face saying, I'll kill some, I don't care, I would hope that someone would defend you and grab this man. And I've told bums leave people alone on the train. Like, yo, get the fuck out of her face. Because these aggressive bums tend to go to the people they feel are defenseless. He did murder him. And because the laws are this way, he has to be charged that you're not allowed to murder people. But this guy, Michael Jackson.
Jordan Neely is his name.
In common with the same Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. Also tried to steal a little girl.
He did.
So first of all, you know,
2019,
he's a terrible person.
He tried to abduct a girl back in 2019. And, you know, he in 2021, he punched a 67-year-old person in the face.
So you're telling me on this train, he would have punched your grandma? Possibly. People are like, oh, he didn't do nothing yet. So do you wait until he stabs someone on the train? And then everyone would have said, you didn't see the signs? Someone should have stopped him. You didn't see the signs? Yeah, we saw the signs.
I mean, I'm very...
So that's when... What's the dude, the Marine's name?
Daniel Penny.
Daniel Penny got up and he said, in his best Michael Jackson voice to everyone on the train, you are not alone.
Oh, God. My thing is, yeah, I get it that there are very aggressive homeless people. There is a mental health crisis in this city, and that's the fact of the matter. Because I worked in the emergency room in the psych ER, and what happens every time an aggressive homeless person acts up, what happens is cops show up, they call EMS, EMS shows up, they put them in the back of the truck, and they bring them to the ER. They don't go to jail. They don't go to Rikers. They come to the ER first. If they've actually killed someone or something like that, then they'll probably get booked. But they'll end up in the ER anyway, and they'll be under arrest in the ER.
Yeah, because what'll happen is if they get arrested, they probably got beat up in the arrest and hurt. So you have to go to the ER first. Because I've been in the bookings a few times, and people come from the hospital after they've been beat up. Some of them look like Martin when Tommy Hearns beat him up.
That does happen, but I'm talking about specifically psych people like him. He was psychologically unstable. He had a history of psychosis. He had been hospitalized multiple times.
Yes.
And
this man got rid of a nuisance.
Well, hold on.
You're not allowed to kill people.
No.
If my grandmother was in there defenseless, what if my 67-year-old grandma's in there and this motherfucker stabs her? What if my wife is in there with our 7-year-old daughter and he's stronger than her and he goes to steal my daughter?
He did do that.
Yeah, so
but Daniel,
fuck this dude.
But the thing is, Russ,
he's a piece of shit. And I don't care. I care about mental health and I think you need help. But I don't care to use your mental health as an excuse for bad behavior. It's never an excuse.
It is an excuse when you are psychotic.
When it's when you say it's an excuse, it means that they let you get away with it and you go back out.
When people are psychotic, they're not in this world. They're not thinking clearly. They're not in touch with reality. Reality and them are not together, okay? Psychosis is a crazy thing. If someone has a history of schizophrenia, like he did, they're not going to put him directly in jail. But the problem is what happens, unfortunately, in this country and in our city is they go to the hospital, they go to the ER, they end up getting admitted. They spend about 10 to 12 days admitted in the psych unit. They get discharged on medication. They have a follow-up team of social workers that kind of try to keep track of them. And guess what happens? They go right back on the street. Do they take their medication? Who knows? Are they followed up with? Who knows? They're homeless. They're on the street. They're roaming the street. So there's no follow-up. And that's the problem because...
How are you going to make them follow up?
No, that's what I'm saying. The way that we have our system laid out is failing people. And he is not a good person. I'm not saying that he was a good person.
All right, failing
but I
people.
Think that he, after he was caught abducting a little girl... And after he punched someone in the face, he should have gone to jail and not gone to the hospital where he would just be released from a psych unit after 12 days.
You know what? You say it's failing people.
It is.
But our population might be too large to help everyone. There's a ton of people. And how do you keep track of all these people? And, you know, in New York, we deal with a lot of aggressive people. Bums will get in your face. If they feel like they can intimidate you something, they'll get in your face and be like, give me your money.
They will, yeah.
I'll punch you dead in your face, bum. I don't give a shit. I'll knock out the last hanging tooth left.
No, they do. So, there's a lot of homeless people who are nice, and there's a lot of homeless people who are aggressive.
So if this dude, what's the Marine's name again?
Daniel Penny. Keep track.
Daniel Penny. If this dude wasn't from New York, which I found out he is.
He is, yeah.
I would have been like, nah, this is just some guy trying to play hero.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really know what goes on here. And there's definitely people listening like, oh, no, you can't do that. First of all, you've never been these bums getting in your face and jerking off in a train and all kind of crazy stuff that goes on. It's unsafe at times.
It is, yeah.
It's safe the majority of the time. But the one time it's unsafe, you could lose your life. How about the homeless people that are sometimes pushing people onto trains? Someone could say, you didn't see the sign? He was just in the car yelling at people, said he's going to kill people. And now he got out and pushed someone on the train. Maybe this Marine just saved some little kid's life by doing that. You don't know that. And he should have let him go. I don't know. I let him go. Now his hands are loose. I think he's going to stab me. You know,
he how do
you know
let what time?
Whatever, you're not a chokeologist.
I'm not a chokeologist, but he literally passed out. He should have let him go. You can't, this is not a vigilante justice world.
And that's why.
We don't live in that.
And that's why people keep acting like that. Because you say people are schizophrenic, right? Oh, they don't know any better. But let me ask you this. If the stove is hot, are they just going to touch it? No, they know that motherfucker's hot. And if their hand touches it, it's going to get burnt. They're not just going to pick up a pot when they're cooking because it's hot. So if you do something and you get a consequence that someone beats the fuck out of you every time, you ain't going to do it again because that stove is fucking hot.
To be honest with you, you don't know enough about mental health and psychology. You don't understand. You've never been around people having a psychotic episode, so your opinion is kind of not relevant because you don't understand what goes on. You don't see it. You've never actually experienced it in a professional setting where you're treating people the way I've experienced it.
Well, I know
they're not in touch with reality.
I know schizophrenic people have potholders.
Okay. Okay. Jesus Christ.
I got all heated, but I don't care that much. But if I was on a train and I helped someone, God forbid I punched someone, most likely I'm not getting involved. It would take something extreme for me to get involved. Mm-hmm. But if I punch someone, he falls, he bangs his head, he's dead. What the fuck? Like, I just tried. It was, he was about to kill this old lady, so I punched him, and now I'm going to jail.
The problem is, Russ, this kid, this Marine, didn't know that he was a scumbag, that Jordan Neely actually is not a good person. He didn't know that
he knew he was a scumbag when he's on the train saying he will kill someone in this car, and he doesn't care. He proved it right there. Someone that isn't a scumbag won't do that.
Listen, I was talking to a coworker today. He takes the train all the time. He lives in Brooklyn.
Where's he from?
He's originally from Atlanta, but he's lived here for the same amount of time I have.
That's not a good
He lives in Brooklyn, and he deals with aggressive homeless people all the time, all right? And he was telling me, we were talking about this case, and he said, you know, he should be charged because you can't just...
Can't
kill people. You just can't do it, and we can't set a precedent like that. So he said... A couple weeks ago, he was on the train going to work, and this dude was sleeping. A homeless dude was sleeping on the bench, and he looked up at him. He literally woke up, and he looked up at him, and he goes, "I'm gonna fuck you up," right to my coworker's face.
And now, what do you do?
He stood there, and he was like, he just stood there. He stayed quiet. He didn't engage. And the dude goes, "You hear me? I'm gonna fuck you up," right? And he just stood there, and he looked at him, and then the guy turned and stopped talking to him and walked down to the other car. Like, he didn't engage.
That's not...
And sometimes...
You're getting me mad.
Sometimes you can't just
use
can't
this one
engage.
Outlier as an example. Because some of these people that say they're going to fuck you up are going to fuck you up. And just some... All right, how about this?
So what would you have done? Would you have tried to fight the bum after he said that? He was laying on the bench. He didn't get up. He didn't get in his face. He just said it. He just looked at him and said
I probably would have said, bitch, I wish you would. That's probably what I would have said. I wish you would. And then if he would have got up and he would have got within arm's reach, I would have hit him.
But you always say sticks and stones. You always say that. You do.
Yes. But if you're right there, it's not sticks and stones no more. You're engaging in combat. That's not sticks and stones.
So with this dude-
sticks and stones is like, oh, your mom's fat. I don't give a fuck. But you're threatening to beat me up. That's not stick. That's right there. That's on the cusp.
So that's different from sticks and stones.
Yes.
See, I didn't know that you felt that way. I thought
no,
you meant
now you're
words
right here next
matter.
To me, and you're saying you're going to beat me up. Now I'm not going to wait for you to hit me. First of all, Nanny told me you always get the first hit because you don't know if you're going to get another one.
Nanny, your nanny was a gangster.
Yup. You punch that motherfucker right in his face if he comes to you.
So. Like I said, me and you agree he should be arrested
and
charged.
So now what happened? Your homie walks away. How about this? Your dude walks away. He doesn't engage. Some of these homeless people engage. Now what? What happens if he's walking away? He done put your boy in a chokehold and he put him to sleep. You don't know what's going to happen.
But this is all what ifs. You can't say what ifs. The fact of the matter is, in this particular situation, he didn't touch anyone. The Marine stepped in, put him in a chokehold, and murdered him. And that is not okay. And he should be charged. And he should go to jail for it.
Well,
that's really
now,
if you're looking at the situation.
Instead of the old people, first of all, there's two other people holding this guy down. So we know he was out of control. Two other citizens that want nothing to do with confrontation, probably just going to work. So we know this dude is out of control. And had he not held him down, maybe this guy wouldn't be dead, and an innocent old lady would be dead because he already punched an old lady, and this guy was a nuisance. But you can't kill people. So what happens to happen, folks? You see anything going on in the train, an old lady getting stomped out by a homeless person? Don't touch them, because God forbid, you're not exactly sure what will kill someone, because you're not a martial artist, you're not an expert, you're going to jail. So these old ladies is assed out, because we can't help anymore as men.
All right, listen, I will say I understand where you're coming from, okay? I understand your point.
I guess in conclusion, folks, if you live in New York, don't let your grandma go out, man. Because no one's going to help her because they're going to spend life in prison.
I don't think he'll get life. I think he'll probably
I think now since, you know, you don't have to help these ladies no more, see a pregnant lady, don't get up either.
Oh, stop.
Stay right there. Don't make eye contact. You look down.
People already do that. People don't make eye contact all the time. New York is savage.
women want everything equal until it's time to find somewhere to sit down.
Shut up.
Or open a sauce jar.
Open a what?
Sauce jar.
Oh, a sauce jar.
First of all your pasta would be dry because you can't even open one.
I do need help a lot with the sauce jars. Okay, I got another one. So a long time ago on our Patreon, we covered the documentary about White Boy Rick. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's funny. I was going to bring this up.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so White Boy Rick was arrested for punching his girlfriend because during sex, she said the wrong name. His name is Wershe, right? Richard Wershe?
I forgot.
Yeah, Richard Wershe. And I guess while they were doing it, she said another dude's name and he got pissed. They got into an argument and he punched her.
I wonder how long he's been with her.
I don't know. It doesn't say in the article, but come on, Richard. Come on, White Boy Rick. Like, why? Your pride, but like, come on. What? Don't punch anybody. You already had all this time in jail. You've been through so much in your life. Like, go retire. Go move down to Florida. Have a nice life on the beach.
No, he can't go retire with his pension. He's been in jail. This guy has to work until he dies.
I don't know. Go to Florida or something.
His one joy in life is probably like
having sex
with his wife.
Well, she's not his wife. She's his girl. I think they were just boyfriend, girlfriend.
I wonder if she's still with him.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe she was like, I deserve that one.
No, she didn't do that. She reported him to the police. But she was worried about reporting him because she was worried about her immigration status. No, seriously, she didn't report him for a while.
So she's out of here. He's in jail. They're both fucked.
Yeah, he got arrested. But like, that was a really good documentary that we covered on there. That was good. White Boy Rick. That was a good one.
Yeah,
that
was a crazy situation. And the Fed used him and stuff.
Yeah, it was a crazy, crazy situation. Good documentary, but come on, White Boy Rick. Get it together. Control yourself.
Oh, but what if he has mental health problems?
Oh, stop.
He does have PTSD. He's been in prison forever.
He had a tough life, yes, but you don't punch anybody in
the face. So mental health problems only go in a way that Jess wants to argue it.
Whatever.
So getting back to fun stuff, because you got me all riled up on stuff I don't care about that much.
Okay.
So there was this coffee shop that opened up. Where did it open? In Toronto. And it was called the Anti-Capitalist Pay What You Can Cafe in Toronto.
Mm. So you could just pay anything? What if I got no money? I could give them a penny?
You could give them $1 billion. You could give them a penny or nothing. They'll get free coffee. You could pay them what you want.
Mm.
But it closes after 1 year. Joke's on you, Mr. We Are The World. Thinking they'll want to keep this coffee shop open.
That's funny.
You should have changed the prices.
It's so true. I mean, I don't know how that business model could have ever worked.
He thought the world was
more generous than it is.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and you know, it's also a thing where people think that free stuff isn't as good, or if you pay more for something, it's better.
Yeah.
It's perceived value. We're all guilty. I'm wearing these Jordans or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm wearing stuff that costs more, but I don't wear Jordans as much anymore because I'm starting to feel a little old. But
I love when guys who are like 40 and up wear like Jordans or Dunks. I think it's so attractive.
Yeah.
It is.
But I'm not 40 yet.
Shut up. Everyone knows you're 40. 29. Everyone knows you're over 40. We've already talked about this. But I think it's so attractive when like older guys wear nice footwear.
It's the certain. You can't just wear any Jordans. There's like certain ones you can't wear. You can't wear the sixes. There's a certain ones that are a little childish.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't wear, you got to wear the original colorways. You can't really stray off. And you can't wear the Jumpmans. Don't wear the Jumpmans. They got the Jordan symbol on it. Those are not Jordans.
Educate them. Rust the style.
It has to have a specific number on it.
Well, one article that everybody sent me when this happened, this news broke, and it was a pretty big deal. I got so many DMs about this one, and a lot of true crime pods are talking about it, about this woman, Corey Richens, She's 33. She's from Utah. So her husband died a couple years ago. He died randomly of, like, they didn't know it was like a heart attack or natural causes. She woke up at 3 a.m., found her husband dead. She ends up writing a book with her children about her husband's death, saying, like, how to grieve after your dad dies. She dedicates the book to him. Well, this bitch was arrested for his murder just last week because cops found out that she murdered him by drugging him with fentanyl.
Wow, you're snitching on yourself. And then
she
did that.
She literally wrote a book. It sold on Amazon. She was on all these news stations doing interviews saying, my husband, she dedicated the book to her husband. She talked in the book about, like, how to grieve when you lose a parent for children. It was a children's book. And she wrote it with her kids. And then it was her that murdered him. And he was apparently the super loving husband. He told his sister, listen to this, I got all the tea. He told his sister a couple months before, I think she's trying to kill me. He took the life insurance policy that he had and he left all of his stuff to his sister.
Wow. So she killed him and didn't even get the money she thought she was going to get.
Yeah, she didn't get the money. So he kind of had an idea that she was thinking, like, trying to harm him.
Well, guys, right now, if I die, arrest Jess.
Whatever.
She ain't going to go free, get a boyfriend, put her right in jail.
Whatever. So she ended up getting charged. The cops, she deleted all these text messages that she texted this dude who sold her the drugs. And
you could pull that up.
Exactly. So she deleted them, but the cops got access to her phone. They got an IT guy in there, got all these old text messages. And she literally said, I want the stuff that killed Michael Jackson or whatever. Something like, I'm paraphrasing.
That was like a anesthesiologist putting Michael Jackson to sleep, I thought. Like,
it was.
Yeah, like when you go to sleep for a surgery, you know, they put you to sleep.
Yeah, it was. But she wanted that, so they gave her fentanyl. And she drugged her husband with fentanyl.
People can't even do drugs for fun no more. Fentanyl is so crazy.
It is crazy.
It's all over. Like, you know, people used to do recreational drugs.
Mm-hmm. People used to do coke all the time.
I can't believe that people still risk it now because you could just get like a little bad batch and...
And you're done.
It could be your first time and then you're done.
Yeah, you're dead. That's so crazy. It's so crazy. Being a bartender, especially a bartender in New York City, the amount of coke people do is crazy. And to think now that you could just do like one snort of coke and you're dead.
It's funny that I think I've told this story before when I first started bartending.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not first started, it could have even been like a year in. People are like, you party? And I didn't know what that meant. So if you don't know, that means do you do coke?
Yeah.
And I would be like, do you party? And I'd be like, I don't really go out that much. I was like, I just like play basketball, go to work. And like.
And they were probably like, did they ever explain it to you?
First, no, because what are they going to do? I mean, and I've seen people come out of the bathroom like coke on their nose. And I point like, yo, wipe your nose, man. You look ridiculous.
Yeah. That's so funny. Probably laughed at you behind your back.
Yeah, one time this dude, he had like white shit all over his nose. And he's like trying to make fun of me. And I'm like, yo, shut the fuck up and wipe your face. And he's like, oh, thanks, man, thanks. It's like, you look ridiculous.
Yeah.
As far as everyone knows, if you ever met someone that is doing coke, they don't shut the fuck up.
Oh, my God. The most annoying people are people who are coked up. It's so annoying. You just want to be like, relax, sit down and shut up. They never shut up and their jaws going back and forth. Being around coked up people.
We were
at the bar the other day and someone we know was coked up.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I ain't going to say no names because it's a small world. This motherfucker wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot.
Yeah.
So I have something that you might find very interesting, Russ. There's this dude. He's an artist and an author. His name is Tim Boucher. And he has written 96 books using AI. And I thought of you because you have a lot of great ideas for horror movies.
Mm.
And you could just go right into ChatGPT and say, write me a script about, I'm not going to say it on here because I don't want anyone to steal your idea, but da 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 da. And it'll write your whole script for you.
And there are multiple ways to do it. I've already looked into this.
Oh, you did? You have plans?
My plan's very loose.
Okay.
But, so what you do is you tell it write a script, but you also have all the things you want in it. Not just, it's about this. Mm. He goes here. He does this. And then, in order to make it good, you put it into another app that humanizes what ChatGPT did.
Oh.
So it like breaks it down even further.
There's another app?
Yeah, that makes it like more human-ish.
Sounding.
Yeah, I guess probably so it like doesn't sound too smart, like I wouldn't write it. Maybe it dumbs it down a little.
Oh, don't say that. Well, this AI shit is getting crazy. We're about to live in Westworld. I really feel like it's coming fast.
Yeah, the AI stuff scares me. What scares me is I think that in the beginning of AI, corporations are going to own all the AIs.
Mm.
And the world's going to get really bad because it's greedy.
Yeah.
And then after we're dead and it goes on a little while, the AI probably will be part of society and make sure everyone eats if they use it right. Like, oh, so everyone could do all, like just do what they want and, you know, have their needs met. It'll probably turn into more like, not communist, socialist society, because all the AI is doing everything that these companies would be making money on.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, though, whoever's in on it, I think is going to get filthy rich.
Mm. And the world's going to be really shitty for a while.
The
world's going to
be really shitty because the greedy people are going to have it. But once it's like...
Once there's like a war.
Yeah, like Walmart owns all this. Amazon owns all this. And they're trying to sell you stuff. And we're putting our pennies together because there's no more jobs.
Mm.
Not no more jobs. They say right now, a low estimate is 1 out of 4 jobs will be gone. And think jobs, knowledge jobs are the ones that will still be here. So they were saying... You know, nurses, some doctors, but that'll get replaced. And then also like hospitality will still be there.
Really?
Yeah, because people want hospitality's interaction.
Mm.
So they're like not engineers. Mm. You know, eventually those will probably get replaced too. But I think, what's the Asian dude who was running for president?
Andrew
Yang?
Yang, I think his name is. Yeah.
Yeah, so in the long run, he was doing, what's that called? We give everyone money?
Yeah.
Not welfare.
No, it was called the, now I'm having a brain fart. Everyone gets $1,000 a month. Basic income. Universal basic income.
Universal basic income. Mm-hmm. So he was saying that start with this because AI is going to start taking jobs and people need to get the money, not all these corporations, because there aren't going to be as many jobs.
So you don't think we're headed for a Terminator 2/Westworld world? You don't think it's going to be like robots taking over like Terminator?
Well, once these robots know they exist, what's that called? There's another word for that.
Like self-realization.
Once they realize they exist, and once a robot can make another better version of itself, and it can just keep going on. Where does it stop?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I forgot who said it. We may be the cocoon to that butterfly. That's just a better version of us, basically. Because like, why isn't our brain a computer? It's just like, might be a mushy computer.
It is like a computer.
Yeah. So like that, we might be the cocoon or the caterpillar to the next butterfly or whatever. So we might be the seed that starts the next evolution of that.
It's so crazy when you, like, ChatGPT has already gotten smarter. Like, it already has evolved just based on all the data it's collected.
ChatGPT is smart, but it gets all its information from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it can have errors because it can't distinguish what is a lie and what is not.
Yeah.
So there are still limitations.
Definitely.
But it's getting there.
It's kind of nuts seeing it all play out.
Yeah, like I'd like to be around when it benefits us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then I'm like, damn, I just need to like pay off a house or at least have somewhere to live when I can't have a job.
Yeah, true.
I know. Could I just grind out and pay off a house?
Yeah.
And like, wherever houses are cheap and nice, with where it doesn't get too cold.
Move to Bentonville.
I want to live in Bentonville.
The mountain bike town. All right, I got one.
Yo,
last...
y'all hiring in Bentonville?
Right? Any of our listeners live there? I'd love to hear about it. It's a mountain bike town.
Yeah, my friends went. They love it. I would love to open like a bike shop, cafe, bar, just all the shit I like.
Yeah, all in one place.
And then ladies in bikinis fixing the bike. God, shut up. It'd be the best.
All right, I got one last article to close out the episode. I thought this was hilarious.
How you know I ain't got an article?
Oh, because I thought you didn't.
I guess I'll just save it for another time. I was told to shut up, folks. No.
So, a DUI suspect in Colorado tried to get out of his DUI by switching seats with his dog when he got pulled over. So...
That proves you're drunk as fuck. Yeah.
So, according to the police, he got pulled over and they saw all this shuffling in the front seat after they pulled him over. So they got out of the car, they walk up to the car and they see his dog in the driver's seat and they see him in the passenger seat. And they start questioning him and he insisted on the fact that the dog was driving. And clearly you're wasted. So you got to get a DUI. But I think it was a great effort. I think he gets an A for effort. And
do
good
you think,
job.
All right. So I wouldn't do that sober. But if I was drunk and I knew I was going down anyway, like, oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Might as well laugh at this situation. I'm going to tell him the dog was driving.
Yeah.
So like.
I could see you doing that.
Only if I knew I was fucked. Like, I wouldn't use it as a legitimate excuse.
But Russ, honestly.
And then when they came up, I would have been playing Shaggy. The counter. Wasn't me. And I would just be, damn it, every time. Wasn't me looking up at him.
Honestly, though, I think in that moment, you'd ruin it for you'd sabotage yourself because they would say one slick comment to you and you'd tell them to probably blow you or something.
Yeah.
They would tell you to blow on the breathalyzer and you'd be like, blow my D.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you'd go to jail.
Definitely, like, eat a dick.
Yeah, you would say something really smart because you are a smart ass.
No, you know, not in a situation where, like, I'm a piece of shit. Like, if you get pulled over like that, you're probably, like, a piece of shit and made a really bad mistake. And hopefully you learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
More in a situation where, like, a cop is just, like, bothering me for no reason.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Like, in that situation, like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you talking like I'm a cop? I don't care. Get.
Yeah.
Unless I'm breaking the law.
Don't
do
give
not
me a hard
tell
time.
Me what to do. Do not tell me move. Don't tell me nothing. First of all, I don't even want to be around people. So why are you even talking to me?
Yeah. But if you were drunk, that is true. If you're drinking and driving, that's bad news. Like, you need to learn from that. No one should be drinking and driving.
But if you're gonna laugh at it and just say your dog was driving, fuck it, go out with a little laugh.
It's true.
It's probably the best way to go out on DUI. It's a good story.
It is, yeah.
Like, hey bro, it was Biggie. And I put Biggie in the driver's seat. He'd be sleeping before the cops even get to the car.
He would.
They're like, he's sleeping.
All right, well, we spread some news.
And I'm leaving today.
There you go. We are leaving in 2 days to go to St. Thomas. I'm so excited. Wish us luck.
I'm going to come back looking like a lobster.
Yeah, me too. We're going to get super red because I'm pale as hell. And I haven't seen sun like that in a year. But I'm super excited. You guys, we will be back for a regular episode the week after. So... don't worry, you only are going to not hear from us for 1 week.
Maybe I'll put Biggie in the podcast seat and he'll take care of it while I'm gone.
Yeah, right.
So this is a big step for us. You know why? One of the other reasons we can't go on vacation is because Jess won't allow anyone to watch our dogs.
But I found a wonderful girl who is now my savior. Her name is Natalie. Shout out to Natalie because she is the best dog sitter walker of all time.
But we can't
and
tell
I
you
trust
about
her and love her.
We can't tell you about her because then she won't be available.
What do you mean? You don't want anyone to use her?
Well, I'd like them to, but not where she's so busy where she can't watch the dogs for us.
This girl has 253 5-star reviews on Rover. She's the bomb. And I love her, and I'm so glad she's in our life, because now we can travel, and I don't have to worry.
And I never met her.
You've never met her, yeah. You haven't.
I love people that do the right thing that I don't know.
You're an idiot. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful week. We will talk to you guys soon. Bye.